I'm the second string preacher this morning, so no pressure whatsoever. Andrew was going to preach this morning, but we've made it a pretty firm policy, I guess, that if you have a child born the day before, that you're excused on Sunday from preaching. So we're following that policy. So Abigail Grace Hawkinson, if you ever hear this, this is for you. 7 pounds, 21 and a half ounces, by the way. Did you get it down that time, Drew? God, we just don't do that. Guys just don't. We just don't remember those things, and that's okay. So I got the call last night and went looking in the file. I was going to start studying something at 8 o'clock last night to be to preach this morning. So this is a sermon I preached years ago. If you brought your notes from May of 1994, you can just get them out. And it will be, that's the outline anyway. Hopefully I've learned a few things since then. Actually, it's an interesting comparison because we're going to talk about... Okay, how do I do this? Page down. Is this supposed to be wedged in here like this? Jay-Z? Arrow button? Guys, some help. Any one of you muscular, young, two-handed guys to come down here, come up here, and that's you. See, you're special to me. Probably it would work if I were. Maybe it's mounted there. It was right over here. Right over here. See, I asked for modifications on the pulpit, and I got them. Andrew, thank you. Good morning. The modification I asked for was actually for these little things here, because before it was just big enough for a Bible, barely a Bible on a piece of paper, for sure not a Bible on two pieces of paper. And so last week I had people in suspense wondering which side it was going to fall off. And neither one. Today we'll probably do that. Zeal is what we're going to talk about today. Zeal. And it's a fun word, zeal is. You almost can't say the word zeal unenthusiastically. It just kind of sounds like what it is, zeal. And I have a different perspective on it than I did in 1994. It looks a little bit different from age 55 than it did from age 37. Let me just say that, okay? But I still believe in it, and I think it's something that's important for us, and there's things that God has for us today. What it means, zeal. This is what we're going to do today. Definition, examples, commandments, to be zealous, and application. That's what we're doing. That's the outline. No complicated 15-point thing. We're just going to go through it little by little. So first thing we have is a definition. Right there, the definition. Zeal means eager interest and enthusiasm. Eager interest and enthusiasm. Ardent endeavor or devotion. It means passion. Intense enthusiasm for an object or a cause. I didn't put any of these up here because it was 8 o'clock, okay? Didn't have the PowerPoint in 94. Intense enthusiasm for an object or a cause, usually as displayed in vigorous and untiring activity in its support. In other words, you're all in. You're all in. It's 100% zeal is what we're talking about. When I think of zeal, I think of hot and sweaty is what I think. I'm thinking of this is a hot day and I'm working and I'm just, that's what I think of. Zealous. There were people in the New Testament called zealots. One of the disciples was a zealot. And those were people that were intensely dedicated to the overthrow of Rome. And they gave their lives for the cause, if need be. They used any and all means to strike out against the Romans. And that was why, actually, that Jerusalem was razed, was destroyed, R-A-Z-E-D, razed, was because of the rebellion that came about, in part because of those men. Zealousness is not just an emotion. That's important. It is not just an emotion. It can cause emotions, but it's not just an emotion. Zealousness does not just mean being busy. We're real busy today. Americans, we're real busy. Everybody's got 100 things going on. But that's not what we're talking about zealousness. In fact, we tend towards, and I'm speaking about America, everybody is kind of calm and cool and collected and we're sort of together and with it. That quenches zeal. Antonyms, opposite words for zeal, means can be lukewarm, apathetic, self-centered. That's the opposite of zeal. The opposite of getting behind a cause that you believe in and pushing it forward 100%. Apathetic. And the Lord Jesus condemned that in Revelation chapter 3. And He said, I'm going to spit you out of My mouth because you're lukewarm. You're not hot. You're not cold. Be one or the other. It has bad connotations, zealousness does. And unfortunately, we can tend to outgrow it in our Christian life. It's easy to get past being zealous, and we shouldn't. We think about those, and I'm thinking about those now who are believers, and some of us who've been saved for a while, and you say about somebody, well, they're just a little overzealous, and we kind of smile, and you know what? That's wrong. That's sin. We shake our heads knowingly. They're just a little bit too carried away with things. They'll come to be like us, right? That's the definition. Zeal is not just an emotion. It's not just being passionate. That's part of it. The Lord Jesus Christ was a zealous man. We'll get to that in a moment. But you never get the idea, there's a case or two where he is just obviously in a fury. He just gets, I guess, carried away. I don't know that I would say that about the Lord, but he's just consumed by zeal, it says in the Word. But you don't get the idea from looking at the Lord Jesus that this was a man who was a nut. Okay? I'm not talking about a nut here. I'm not talking about silliness or nuttiness. Zeal. We want zeal with knowledge. The quote, zeal without knowledge is like fire without a grape to contain it, like a sword without a hilt to wield it by, like a high-bred horse without a bridle to guide him. It speaks without thinking, acts without planning, seeks to accomplish a good end without the adoption of good means. It wants to get to a good thing, but it doesn't do what it takes to get there. It just wants to be there. That's zeal misapplied. A zealous soul, and you've known people like this, and I've known people like this, and we've been people like this. A zealous soul without meekness is like a ship in a storm in danger of wrecks. But a meek soul without zeal is like a ship in a calm that doesn't move as fast as it ought to. Which would you say we more tend to in America today? Not much question, is there? I think we tend towards the too little zeal rather than the too much zeal. So we're going to have good examples of zeal, bad examples of zeal. Which would you like first? When you hear that somebody's going to give you good news and bad news, how many of you want the good news first? I just want the good news first. Come on, hands if you want the good news first. Okay, if there's good news and bad news, and you want the bad news first, raise your hand. Well, that's most of us. That's what we're going to do. You won the vote. And it just happens to be what I had on the PowerPoint. Me, I've always been, I want the bad news first. I want to just get it over with. Just give me the bad news. I'll go on from there. And we'll, you know, whatever. But there's bad examples of zeal. So please remember that. We're trying to be balanced. It's an important element of the Christian life to be zealous. The Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was a bad example of zeal. If you look at Acts chapter 9, it's one of those verses, writing that has survived 2,000 years, and you look at it, read it, and you're in the moment. The Apostle Paul was a zealous man, no matter what he did. He was a zealous person. And there are those of us who are just more tending towards being zealous. There's some of us that are just zealous by nature. There are some of us that are more calm by nature. But God wants us to be, all of us, to be the right amount of zealous, the right way of zealous. It's not just an emotion. Acts 9, verse 1. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. You can almost hear him. Breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He's going to go get them. He thinks it's false. He's going to throw them all in jail and murder them. And in Philippians chapter 3, when Paul is giving his pedigree and saying, this is who I was and this is what kind of person I was before Jesus Christ changed my life, he says, as for zeal, I persecuted the church. I wasn't on the sideline. I wasn't just kind of hanging out there. I thought it was wrong and I tried to stop it. Example 1. The Judaizers, the Jews of Paul's day, who didn't believe in Christ as the Messiah, who didn't receive him as their Savior, and who wanted, along with Saul then, who became Paul, to stop Christianity, were also zealous. Zeal by itself is not a good thing. Zeal by itself without knowledge is not a good thing. Acts 7, verse 57. Stephen says, I see the heavens open, and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. The crowd just mobs him. Acts chapter 21. Verse 36. Gosh, hard to know when to start. Verse 31. They're trying to kill Paul. This is another incident. A mob is trying to kill Paul. So the centurion, the Roman commander, took soldiers and centurions, and when the mob saw this, they stopped beating Paul. One of my favorite verses. When they saw that, they stopped beating him. Oh, okay. That's better. So they ordered him to be bound by two chains, and he asked them who he was, what he had done. Among the crowd, some were shouting one thing and some another. And when he couldn't find out the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. When he got to the stairs, he was carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. They weren't acting this way because of the TV cameras that were there. They were zealous for God, their understanding of God. For the multitude of the people kept following them, shouting, away with him. If you go to chapter 22, Paul is giving his discourse to this same mob. And Paul is recounting, he said, "The Lord Jesus Christ, he," verse 21, "said to me, 'Go, for I'll send you far away to the Gentiles.'" They listened to him up to this statement, and then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air. I mean, it's just, it was a mob, right? It was crazy. You could almost hear perhaps the same voices shouting, "Crucify him." The same idea. Zealousness, but without knowledge. In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 21. In 2 Samuel verse 20, chapter 21, another example of misplaced zeal. Verse 2. Well, there's a famine in verse 1, and David sought the presence of the Lord, and the Lord said, "It is for Saul and his bloody house, because he put the Gibeonites to death. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the sons of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the sons of Israel made a covenant with them. But Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. Saul was worked up, and he was worked up for the right thing, and he went about it the wrong way. Misplaced zeal, King Saul. James and John in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. I've got the wrong verse here. But they weren't receiving the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And James and John said, "Lord, should we call send fire and have them killed?" One of those moments. And, I mean, was the Lord Jesus, was he thinking about saying, "Sure, go ahead, try. I mean, you know, you're not able to do that on your own. Lord, should we kill them?" And he called them the sons of thunder. They were zealous, but without knowledge. A brother in Peru used to do that. It was a lot of fun. He would always say, "Fuego, hermano, fuego." When he thought things weren't going well, he was just ready to call down fire. He just thought that was funny. Bad examples of zeal. People you've known. You personally. When you say the word zeal, when you think of the word zeal, do pictures come into your mind of someone you've known? Perhaps a believer. Someone that you know, that you love, that went about things in the wrong way. Maybe they epitomized zeal for you. Maybe they fell away. Or maybe they just did wrong things. It can be new Christians. I look back on some of the things I did as a new Christian, and I just have to close my eyes. You know, it's just embarrassing. Some of the things that I did. And some of you experienced some of those things and you're still here this morning, and I appreciate that very much. Like a brother told me, I said, we'd like to lock them up in a barrel for the first year or two until they kind of cool down a little bit, you know, until they just kind of quit being so nuts. They're embarrassing us. But you know, actually, that's part of the problem is we need them and we need the zealousness. Those who tend to be more zealous, we need them. How about you? When you were first saved, did you do things you're embarrassed of now? Just over the top. Too much. Inconsiderate, the right goal, the wrong method. In Proverbs 19. Now the Bible talks a lot more about zeal than it uses the word zeal, even though the word zeal is used a lot. It's not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps err. Some of them say, it's not good to be without, some translations say, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge. But you see, we can't just draw back into our shells because we've made mistakes. We can't just live passive, half-hearted lives for Christ because we've made mistakes in the past or we've known others who made mistakes in the past. Zealousness is not just a thing for young Christians. It's not just a thing for young people. Let's look at some good examples of zeal. God the Father, what do you think? Let's just start right at the top here. Deuteronomy chapter 4. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. The word zealous and the word jealous have much the same meaning. He's jealous. He's zealous for us. He died for you, brother, for you, sister, and He wants to possess your life and He doesn't want second place. Exodus chapter 34. He's a consuming fire. He's not like a lighter or something. Think more like flamethrower. Exodus chapter 34. Giving instructions, verse 13, you're to tear down their altars of the false gods, smash their sacred pillars, cut down their asherim, for you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. His name is jealous. He's a jealous God. He desires you. He means business. He's passionate. I'm so glad. I'm so glad He didn't just say, well, you know, that's just a speck of dust there, that universe, and inside of there, there's specks of dust called planets, and inside of that speck of dust called the planet is a guy named Dwayne, and I'm not going to get too worked up about that. I'm glad He's zealous. Are you? I'm glad He's jealous for us. God the Father is zealous. God the Son is zealous. In John chapter 2, verse 15, He made a scourge of cords and He drove the money changers out of the temple and with the sheep and the oxen and He poured out the coins of the money changers. He overturned the tables. And to those who were selling the doves, He said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. It was prophesied of Him that He would come this way in Psalm 69. The Lord Jesus meant business. He lived. He was the eager interest and enthusiasm, the devotion, the passion, the intense enthusiasm for an object or a cause. That was God the Father. That is the Lord Jesus. Psalm 69 and verse 9. Verse 8, I become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. So when the Jews were being zealous for God, that was the God they understood. A righteous, holy, no nonsense, tolerated kind of God. In Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, verse 15. The Lord saw it was displeasing in His sight, there was no justice. And He saw there was no man, and He was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then His own arm brought salvation to Him, and His righteousness upheld Him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on His head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and He wrapped Himself with zeal as a mantle or as a cloak. God the Son, passionate, zealous. God the Holy Spirit, in James chapter 4, verse 5. It's a marginal reading, but I don't think anybody would have any problems with the fact that the Holy Spirit is zealous as well. Verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He made it to dwell in us. Or the marginal reading is, the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us lusts with envy. The Holy Spirit wants all of you also. The Apostle Paul, once he became saved, we looked at him as a bad example. Now we can look at him as a good example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, he tells the Corinthians, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. And look at the end of that section in 29. Verse 28, above this, Paul has been talking about the lashes and the shipwrecks and the robbers and the dangers in the sea and the dangers, etc., etc. I've been, verse 27, through labor and hardship, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? It doesn't use the word zeal there, but can you see it? He's so identified with God's people, he cares so much. And also for the unsaved. When he was before the Roman authority, the Roman authority said, do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian? And Paul said, I wish all were like me, except for these chains. In Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation. And he said that he could wish himself accursed. Chapter 9, verse 3. I wish I could go to hell so that they would be saved. Who here would say that? Which of us would say that I care so much about this person being saved, I would go to hell and suffer that so they would be saved? In fact, if you think about it, one of the great characteristics of the great men and women of God is zealousness. Think of Elijah. Can you picture any zealousness there? How about Elisha? How about Moses? How about David? How about any of them? They cared. They got involved. They were zealous. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, just as an aside almost, intense concern for a cause. Hebrews 11:32. What more shall I say? This is after mentioning many men and women of faith. If time will fail me, if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith, do you see any zealousness in this next list? Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty, in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Eager interest and enthusiasm, ardent endeavor or devotion. intense enthusiasm for an object or a cause, usually as displayed in vigorous and untiring activity in its support. In other words, if you're in, you're in. I'm all in. I'm pushing all my chips in. This is what I'm doing with my life. This is what I'm doing. It's the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean that they walked around and were on an emotional high all the time. It doesn't mean they were happy all the time. It doesn't mean they didn't make mistakes. But they believed enough in God to be inconvenienced for Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, 14 to 16, David is dancing before the ark. And it says he was... In fact, we'll just go there. 1 Samuel 6. It's easy to see why it's so easy to confuse this with emotion, because emotion is so often involved, but it is so much more than that. True zeal is not just emotion. It's not just a thing of the moment. They were glad to see the ark. Verse 13. We better do 2 Samuel here. Yeah, here we go. 2 Samuel 6:14. The bearers of the ark. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. All his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. Israel, rejoicing before their God. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Verse 20. When David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, and just you can just put the tone of voice here, it sounds like Cruella de Vil, frankly. How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones, shamelessly uncovers himself. You know, but David didn't let it bother him. If you live zealously for the Lord, people are going to smile at you. And they're going to smile about you, and they're going to talk about you to others, the gossip, the hypocrisy. Proverbs 23:17. You just have to decide to not let it bother you. Commandments to be zealous. Proverbs 23:17. Don't let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about this in our time left. We're all zealous about something. What are we zealous for is the question. Don't be zealous for the wrong things. Be zealous, committed to, passionate about the Lord. Be zealous for the right things. We sang the song, fervent in spirit. Commandments to be jealous. If you look at Titus, and this is just all through the Bible, God wants people who really believe in Him, who really follow Him, who will, after hurts, after disappointments, after things have gone wrong, that will do it again. Hopefully wiser than what I did in 1994. But He wants me to keep being zealous and keep following Him. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13, we're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. We like that part. To redeem us from every lawless deed. We like that part. And to purify for Himself. We kind of like that part. A people for His own possession. Uh-oh, now you're getting personal. Zealous for good deeds. He saved you to be zealous. Do you understand? He gave Himself for you, so that you would be zealous for Him. And in Revelation 3, when they realized, in Revelation 3, when is talking to the church in Laodicea, the church that was the opposite of zealousness, the church that was apathetic, that he said he would spit them out of his mouth. Verse 19, he says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent." It's not just an emotion, but be zealous in your repentance. One of the signs that the elders have learned to look for from people that we're working with that need to change their way is that they mean business. They're zealous about it. It's not just, "Oh, well, okay, kind of got caught there, I'm just going to slip." No, it's that they realize it, they mean business about it. Commandments to be jealous, to be zealous. If you're not living zealously for the Lord, you're not living the way for the Lord the way He wants you to. Application. You know, there's excuses. I'm preaching to me. It's easy to start out zealous. It's easy at the start. It's easy. Actually, it's not. But it's much easier the first year or two or three or whenever. But, you know, people criticized me. People made fun of me. People didn't support me. You know, I was a lot more involved once upon a time. I even taught a Sunday school class. But, you know, it's somebody else's turn now. I did my part. And we cool off. Imagine the Lord Jesus saying, "You know, I came to the world and they criticized me, nobody supported me, and now, you know, they're not receiving me. Let's let somebody else finish the job here. Let's let somebody else die for them." Aren't you glad He was zealous for you, for your soul, right down to the very bitter end? And He was, and He is, and He lives in heaven interceding for you now. He is still zealous for our souls. You just have to decide what your priorities are. And then you have to keep deciding what your priorities are. Do I want the praise of men or do I want the praise of God? I told a believer in the Lord just yesterday, I said, "You know what, really? Just another," and they're younger than I am. I said, "You know what? Really, another, it's not a long time. Another 45, 50 years, and it'll all be over, and then you'll be with the Lord. So keep going." Now, me, I'm farther along than that. I'm 55, so I figure maybe another 35 years, 90. Hopefully, I won't still be up here preaching. 90, I can't imagine myself making 100, but you know what? I'm almost there. Just a little while longer. It's not forever. But heaven is. And glory is. And the rewards are. How can I maintain my zeal for the Lord? Well, you need to maintain your walk with the Lord, the zealous one. If He's a zealous God, and He is a zealous God, then you're going to look more and more like Him as you go along. Now, I'm not talking about zeal without knowledge. I'm not talking about just offending people, being rude. I'm not talking about being inconsiderate, classlessness. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about being involved, being in the work, helping. Sometimes we act like all we have is this itty-bitty little cup of water. I just have this itty-bitty little salvation here, just like this drink here. It's almost gone. And I can't share it because then I'll have less. No, that's not the way the things of God work. Pour it out for Him and He'll give you more. There's more where that came from, you see. There's more where that came from. Well, if I give away my time or if I give away my money or if I give away my ability, what if I don't measure up? Well, let God sort all that stuff out. Just you do what you can do. Be involved. Be zealous. Be committed. Be involved. Be intensely supporting. What do you support? Who and what are you zealous for? Areas to be more zealous in. Well, everything, basically. The Christian life. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you don't have a life worth living. And it's going to end soon, and then you're going to have an eternity to think about not making the right decision. Get saved. Get saved. Receive Christ as your Savior. It's worth it. We know this. It's just we're creatures of time, and we live inside time, and it just wears on us. And brother, we have to keep reaching out to the eternal and renewing ourselves. Things to be more zealous about. The big four. Fellowship. The apostles' teaching. Breaking of bread. And prayer. We can be zealous about all those things. We should be zealous about all those things. We should be fervently supporting them. There was a person in our meeting today that came to remember the Lord Jesus Christ who went to work last night at 7 o'clock and worked a 12-hour shift. Then got done and came here to remember the Lord Jesus with us. And we had a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time together. 100%. I'm all in. I mean, if you're not all in on this, what could we be all in on? Right? We believe it, right? Let's keep living it. I'm not saying we're not. We just keep needing to keep doing it. Service, serving others, helping, not being taken advantage of, not foolishly, but just serving. I wanted to look at Colossians. We finished Colossians last week. You see examples of zeal in Colossians. You see Epaphras, who is a prayer warrior. Chapter 4, 12. Laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. He was a prayer warrior. He was a zealous prayer that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. He had a deep concern for them and for those in the nearby towns. In chapter 3, whatever you do, Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. Do it with you're all. As for the Lord, rather than for men. Because it is for the Lord, not for men. It's the Lord Christ whom you serve. Teaching the Word of God. Our evangelism. We have to use methods that work in our day. I don't think tent campaigns work too well anymore. But we need to live zealously for Christ. Quote from Alexander McLaren. The heroism of the world puts to shame the cowardice and the selfishness of the church. This was written in 1910. Contrast the depth of your affection for your household with the lukewarmness of your love for your Savior. Contrast the willingness with which you sacrifice yourself for some dear one with the grudgingness with which you yield yourselves to him. Contrast the rest and the sense of satisfaction in the presence of those you love and your sadness when they are absent with the indifference whether you have Christ beside you or not. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I would beseech you to bring that power of uncalculating love and self-sacrificing affection, which is in you. We're all zealous for something. And fasten it where it should be, on Christ who died on the cross for you. Such a love will bring blessedness to you. Such a love will ennoble and dignify your whole nature and make you a far greater and fairer man or woman than you otherwise ever could be. Like some little bit of black carbon put into an electric current, my poor nature will flame into beauty and radiance when that spark touches it. So, love him and be at peace. Give yourselves to him and he will give you back yourselves. Ennobled and transfigured by the surrender. Lay yourselves on his altar. It's written in 1910. Alexander McLaren preached at the same church for 60 years. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how glad I will be if the lamp of my life was burned out for Thee. Young people, we need you to be zealous. We need your example. Older people, not so young people, we need your example. We need to be zealous for that which is worthy of it. My understanding is that that's God. Father, we worship you and we thank you for your word. How it humbles us. We cannot do these things, Lord. Make us willing to give ourselves to you, that you would do them through us. Show us what that looks like, Lord. Give us opportunities this week to be zealous for you. And if you would, please, tap us on the shoulder so we know, so we're reminded. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this fellowship, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.